Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Truly we give honor and thanks to the Lord, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, we are just grateful to the Lord for all that he is doing, thankful for just being a part of the kingdom, being one of a king's kids. So I'm just so thankful for all of that, and just prayerful that we will continue on in the name of the Lord and do what God has purposed for me to do. So thankful for all of that. I'm going to start today. This is my last day talking about anything that's about prayer. On next week, we will start a new topic. We will be talking to about humility starting next week. I'm going to finish this up today, and I prolonged it because I was waiting on someone else for the other topics, and so they got their study and they're doing that, and so they're ready to go, and so I'm so thankful for that. And then I'll be doing some other things as well while they're teaching that part of the series on humility. And then we have several more topics that we're going to be teaching on. So just excited about all that God is doing. And I'm just so excited. I'm excited about the fact that I've made up in my mind that I'm going to do what the Lord has told me to do. I'm going to do all of it. I said, when you start getting older and your friends start, people start leaving and checking out of here, you start to rethink life a little bit. And you start thinking about, do I really have time to keep moving in fear? Do I have time to keep procrastinating? No, you don't have time for none of that. All you have time for is to do what God has told you to do and to get busy. It's time to do the things that you have passion for, time to do the things that you are excited about doing. And so that is what I am doing. So I thank God for this opportunity just to teach the Word of God. I'm so excited about it always because, you know, when you get to study and stuff like that, you get to learn a lot. I learn a lot myself, and so I'm able to grasp from the teaching and the studying and things like that. So I'm so excited about that. So we're still talking about, we're ending up prayers, what we're doing. I prolonged it some because I was, like I said, I was waiting on somebody else. We have several things that we're going to be doing here over the next couple of months. We're going to do single talk. Of course, that's for all my lovely singles. I'm single, and so we've got a bunch of singles that I know that are ranging from all ages. So we're going to do some things about single talk. And so that's going to start in June. I was trying to start it with May, the first week of May, but I'm still working out some of the kinks. And so I want to come without, I just don't want to fly by the seat of my pants, as they say. I want to be able, when I start it up, that we can continue, that we will, be ready to go and continue on. Got a lot of wonderful topics, got some awesome co-hosts, some of my male friends. I have a bunch of male friends, praise the Lord, for that. And so, nothing crazy ever went on. We just good friends, and I thank God for that favor I've had over the years of my life to be able to have friendships with men and really not, no craziness going on, but they love me as a sister, and I'm so thankful for that, and I love them as my brothers. And so they're going to come on and co-host with me, different ones. It won't be the same one all the time, but different ones are going to come on and co-host with me the single talk, and I'm excited about that, so you can get a male and a female perspective. And so that'll be good, and so we're talking about a bunch of stuff, and I think one of our topics is going to come out the box with. We're going to talk about our gifted singles. I want to start on a positive note. We're going to talk about our gifted singles. We have so many single people that are doing so many awesome things, and so we're going to be interviewing some of them and letting them tell you about some of their projects that they got going on and some things. So hopefully it'll inspire some other people to get busy on the projects that they have to do and stop procrastinating, stop moving in fear, all of those things. Because if you don't get it out, you don't want to die here. You don't want to die with it, that's for sure. You want to get everything that God has purposed and gifted and told you to do. You want to get those things out. And so that's what Denise is doing. And so then, of course, wisdom, my Wisdom Wednesdays with Mother Pearl and Nana, they're going to start on this Wednesday, May 1st. We're going to come up with that. So that's my little comedy side. I do some comedy characters from time to time with some of my other friends that do comedy. So these are some of my characters. I'm going to be doing that on Wednesday. A little short summer. We ain't going to be on that long. Just giving a pearl of wisdom, and then we're going to come on off of there. And then, let's see, of course, I got a book coming out called The Sex. Hashtag I'm Better Than This, The Lies When Silence Speaks, What Will It Say? And then Soul Ties, Broken Chains of Freedom. So that's coming out. I've been working on that book for a long time. I really should have been finished with it, and I've had it, and I needed to read over it, and some other things started happening, so I kind of just kind of lag behind. But anyway, it's coming out, so I got to get some things done on that, and so that's going to be a part of Single Talk as well. So we're going to talk about all those kind of things as well, because we need for people to come back to Christ when it comes about some of these things. And so it's a whole lot going on. And so, but anyway, it's a judgment-free zone, so we're not judging anybody. We're just going to talk about it and move on. And hopefully, you know, this is what I always tell people when I tell somebody, I say, you know, I present the Word of God. That's my assignment, is to teach and preach the Word of God. And whatever you need to do to align yourself with it, that is what between you and the Lord. I don't have no heaven and hell to put nobody in, so I don't try to put nobody there. I just teach and preach the Word of God and let the Word of God do the work. And so that is what I endeavor to do. It's a little warm here today. I tell my, anyway, I ain't going to talk about that heat and that air conditioning. But anyway, but the Lord has been blessing it to be cool, so I haven't had to have too many hot days. But anyway, we're going to get that fixed hopefully in the next couple of weeks. So we thank God for that. But anyway, then what else is going on? See, I got some T-shirts coming out, a T-shirt line that I got going, and that's my little book I'm doing, Quotes, Say Ye Designs is what it's going to be called. And so we're going to have some inspirational T-shirts that we will be selling, and hopefully the profits, proceeds from those will be able to help with my nonprofit, Impact 360, Generations 360, so that we can help send some of these kids to some, especially, and maybe not this year, but hopefully in the next year we'll have it ready to go and be able to send some of these kids to some of these summer programs that may not have the money to go. And so we would be able to do that. So those are some of the things I'm endeavoring to do. And so, of course, you know, I've been substitute teaching for some time, so I'm going to take my teaching exams. So all those that know the word prayer, pray for me, because I tell you, I don't want to take it for one time. I ain't interested in keep taking that test over and over and over. I just want to get in there and do it so then I can move on from that as well. So this would be my second career, not my first one. My first one is an accountant, audit, and so things like that. And so now, but the Lord seems to be leading me this way. And, you know, I like being over with them children because they keep you young and keep you fresh. They tickle me. You know, some of them is BAD. But, you know, honey, I'm telling you, they are still a jewel. And I thank God for each and every one of them. And, you know, I don't let them push me over or nothing like that because, you know, I can get with them. And then, you know, I can feed them and get with them all at the same time, be loving on them and get with them all at the same time. So, you know, that's my personality. And it seems to work for me. But anyway, let's talk about this. Last week I talked about, I'm getting off of that. I think it's all my little announcements I need to make. But anyway, so next week we're going to start talking about humility. And then Mother's Day week, it will be a broadcast on a replay of A Renewed Mind. I'm going to pray one of those, because I'll be out, and it's Mother's Day. And so, you know, so anyway, it'll be difficult for me to pull everything together. So I said I would just come back in the next week, and then we'll be back on humility again. Until she is ready, till she finishes teaching that. And I'm not sure how long that'll be, but she will let us know as she continues on with that. And then I think from there we're going with trusting the Lord. Elder Russell, one of the elders at my church, she's going to be teaching on that. And then we're going to some other topics. I think we've got about more, 5 or 6 more after that in this Building a Better Relationship with God series. And, of course, I always tell you we're endeavoring to reach the lost, those that are newly saved. And, of course, it's been a blessing to those of us that are already saved. So I just thank God for the word being a blessing. It always sets out, it's going to do what it is purpose to do. So we thank God for that. Anyway, so last week we were talking about, this is our finishing up of prayer. And so we were talking about last week David. So I started talking about Jehoshaphat again. I just reiterated about him. And then we started talking about David. And David, and then we're going to talk about Jesus today, and Paul, and then we're wrapping it up after that. And so, but what we were talking about last week with David was that David, when he prayed, he came from the heart of a worshiper. And so that was how he presented his prayers. When you think David, you know, David had so many battles going on. He had internal battles, he had external battles, he had kingly battles, he had, you know, all kind of stuff was going on. So he had so many things that he was dealing with, so many enemies he was fighting against, and, you know, and even like when he was fighting, Saul was after to kill him. David hadn't done nothing to Saul. Saul saw the anointing of God on his life and knew that God was with him and became jealous of that situation. and then began to plot to kill David. And the one thing about David and all of his things that he had going on, all the battles and tragedies that he had going on, the one thing about him is that he would always learn something from those situations. And then he would pray a prayer, and so that's where a lot of our psalms come from. I think David wrote about 72 of the psalms. I think that's correct. 72 of the psalms of the 150. And so but what we would see is that, you know, just like when he had the situation with Bathsheba and with Uriah, and then he wrote the 51st psalm, you know, the one, Lord created me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit, blot out my transgression. He began to pray for repentance because he knew he had done wrong. One thing about David, he was quick to repent, and he would mess up, but he was quick to repent. He would always be worshiping God. And so he started each prayer that he prayed. It was always a worship. And then the next thing, other things he did when he prayed very specific prayers. He prayed very quick and specific prayers. He never moved until God assured him the victory. And so that was the one thing, because when he went to God about certain things, especially when it came to those battles and with the Philistines and stuff like that, he would go ask God. He said, "Shall I pursue?" And he would wait for God to tell him, "Yes, you shall pursue, and without fail you shall recover all." He would always wait for those instructions. And if he didn't get those instructions, then he went back to God and asked again, or he wouldn't go. He would just not do that. And so those are some of the things that David did when he prayed. But he always began his prayer in a worship tone. He always began to tell God how awesome he was, an old wise and old beautiful God. And, you know, he would make it so poetic. And he would begin to talk to God in that worshiper's heart. And then he would begin to petition God about what it was he needed. And so those are some of the things he did. And I noted that in the Old Testament, you know, they always were praying to God. They were always for praying to God. They would say, you know, God, you know, they were praying to God. But then when we introduce Jesus, and when Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to, he prayed to the Father. And so when he prayed, he always prayed to the Father. And so that's when the sonship, I believe, I feel like that we were introduced to God in a different way in the New Testament, because then it seems like we became his, you know, we were always his children, children of Israel, children. And when we came, but he introduced God in a more intimate way is what I want to say. So when he began to introduce God, he said, you know, when he did the Lord's Prayer, the one they said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," he said, "Pray on this manner, our Father, which art in heaven." So he introduced God to us in a different way. It was a more intimate relationship that was beginning to build when Jesus came on the scene, because he was the Son of God. He was both God and man. And so he gave a different, a more intimate relationship and told us that now you can pray to him and say, "Our Father," instead of, you know, so he done that. And so that was one of the things that I noticed when Jesus began to pray, and when he began to come on the scene, that he began to tell us to pray in a more intimate way with God, and he began to do so. Jesus sets a pattern of prayer. I said David set a pattern of prayer of that he worshiped God, and then he prayed very quick and specific prayers. And so he prayed, and then he did not move until God told him to move, or he assured him the victory, and then David would move. But when and then Jesus begins to pray, and so I want to read the 11th chapter of Luke, the 1st and the 13th verse. And I'm reading it in a different version. This is the Phillips New Testament version, and so I'm gonna read it in that because I think it gives us such a commentary as well as the scripture. But anyway, on the 11th, the first verse, and then it breaks it down for us. It kind of breaks it down into three portions. It says the Lord gave instructions for prayer, and then the Lord agreed eagerness to hear our prayers, and then it talks about the Lord's certainty to answer prayer. And then it talks about the Lord's desire to give the best to those who pray. And so this in particular verse, and so let me get it in King James Version as well, just so, because sometimes, you know, it's sometimes when you're reading things, you kind of need that version. I always read that version as well, but so let me pull it up to make sure I can get that as well. But anyway, I did copy it in this particular version. I'm really trying to go slow today too. Anyway, but in the King James Version it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. See, I'm thinking about that Matthew verse that says, teach us how to pray in Matthew. But anyway, and he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, so in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for the friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And so then the ninth verse says, And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is the father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now here it talks about the Holy Spirit again, about the Heavenly Father giving the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And I was telling us, I think when I was teaching about praying in the Spirit, that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, if you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, then ask the Father. It gives us that clear picture right there again. It says, and this is 13th verse, it says, if ye then being evil from know how to give good gifts, talking about the earthly Father, knows how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So if you ask God for the Holy Spirit, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's a gift. It is nothing that we got to fight for. It is a gift. And so, but anyway, in this particular verse, we were talking about Jesus was teaching them how to pray again. And so it talks about, and this is a breakdown of the verses, it says, that the Lord was given instruction on prayer, and that's in verse 2 through 4. But then in 5 through 8, the Lord paints a picture of his eagerness to answer prayer. And so that was one of the things I noted in these particular scriptures. And then in verse 9 and 10, it says, Lord, certainty to answer prayer. So he wants to answer the prayer. And then in verse 11 through 13, the Lord desires to give us the best to those who pray. So when we pray and ask God, God desires to give us the best. He desires to answer our prayer. If we come to him with the right prayer, then he desires that. He has an eagerness to hear our prayer. He has a certainty to answer our prayer, and then he has a desire to give us the best. So if we think about that, prayer should be different for us if we think about how that particular scripture in Luke 11 is broke down about the Lord's Prayer. It talks about it. I'm going to say it one more time, that in verses 2 and 4, it said you have the Lord's instruction on prayer. So God is teaching us how to pray. And when I talked about that, I talked about Jesus saying to us and introducing a more intimate prayer time, a more intimate communication between us and God, because he said now we can say, Father, our dear Heavenly Father. And so the Father gives us a more intimate relationship, because if you go to your Father, if your Father that you have, then if you go to him, you're talking to him one-on-one, and you're talking in a more intimate situation. So God, in Jesus, introduces God to us now as our Father and begins to tell us how we can go to him and how the Lord, he gave us these instructions. And then it talks about how the Lord had eagerness to hear our prayer. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants us to pray. He wants us to hear our prayers. And then, of course, we got a blessing because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he is advocating for us. He is advocating on our behalf to the Father. And I said, then the Holy Ghost is here on earth, and he is our advocate here on earth, and Christ is our advocate in heaven. And so we have them working on our behalf. So we got help in prayer. You know, we don't even have to be intimidated by prayer, because if we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, we don't have to be intimidated by prayer. He's going to pray the will of God because he knows what God wants. And so that's the good thing about that is because the Holy Spirit has that covered. And so I talked about that, about praying in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us. And Romans 8:26 and 27, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and with words that cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And so that was the NIV of Romans 8:26 and 27. So in the text, we understand that praying in the Spirit means God's Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He guides us in our prayers. He guides us in our prayers, and he helps us in our weaknesses. When you pray in the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit guides you, and he leads you in prayer. And so, you know, so there Jesus was telling us at the end of that particular scripture, you know, how much will our Father give us a good gift, and our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So if you say, well, I can't pray in the Spirit, I don't know if I got the Holy Spirit, well, ask God for him. He'll give it to you. That's what he said. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's our right to ask for that gift. And so here, then Jesus' prayers in the Bible paints a clear picture about prayer. Because now if Jesus prayed a lot. Jesus prayed in a lot of in the Bible. He prayed before he did miracles. He prayed before he would go and preach to the people. He was stealing away a lot in prayer time. Remember, he sent the disciples on, and he stayed back to prayer, and then they saw him coming walking on the water and all of that. So Jesus prayed all the time. So if he's painting a picture of us, of course, the Bible couldn't even contain all that Jesus done. So we have a glimpse in the Gospels of what Jesus did do, but he said, well, all the things that he done, the Bible couldn't even contain them. And so it couldn't be contained, so we just got this glimpse of his ministry. And anyway, the times that Jesus prayed showed us a clear picture of what prayer means and the importance it is to the Christian journey, to our Christian journey, how important prayer is. So if Jesus prayed often, then we need to be praying often too. And I always tell people, you know, I like being a part of the corporate prayers, you know, that goes on. You know, a lot of people are having corporate prayers on Facebook Live and things like that, and I like being a part of. There's two of them that I'm usually a part of. I pray with in the morning. Pastor Sarah Balboa, I've been praying with her in the morning. She comes on at 5 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Central. And then, of course, Prophetess Tiffany Anea Harrison, I'm usually on her prayer call, and sometimes you have to look on her page to see when she's going to be praying, because she's doing other things in ministry to kind of keep her late, and so things are going on. And so sometimes her time changes, but you have to look on her page to be able to do that. But anyway, I like the corporate prayer as well, but the one thing I always do is I've already prayed. You know what I'm saying? I've already went to God, or I'm praying in the morning on my own prayer time, and I pray because I got to keep that intimate relationship with God myself. And so I don't take the corporate prayers, and I don't do the corporate prayers in lieu of my own prayer time. I get up and I pray my own prayer time, because you still have to build an intimate prayer time with the Lord. Jesus shows us this. David shows us this. David, you know, they didn't just do corporate prayer. They did intimate prayers. And so they prayed God. Like I said, David would pray to God, and he was a worshiper. He prayed in a worshiper tone, and he presented his prayers in that tone. And then I told you he prayed very specific prayers, which when he prayed those prayers, you know, he said, Lord, shall I pursue it? And he would wait to hear from God. Sometimes we're praying, but we ain't waiting to hear from God. We're not waiting to get our instruction from the Lord, and that's something that we have to make sure that we begin to incorporate, that when we're praying and when we're praying for specific things, before we move, We wait to hear what God is telling us to do so that when we move, we will be assured the victory. That whatever it is, we'll be assured the victory. Because we got to remember, first of all, God is for us. And so we know that, and since we know that, if we pray to him about specific things, especially things that we need to move on or things that we're doing, then we need to make sure we get that answer from the Lord about our pursuit of those things. So make sure we're in the will of God when it comes to that. He made sure he was in the will of God. Jesus was in the will of God. So Jesus prayed to the Father. Like I said, he introduced that intimate relationship when he said, we'll pray on this wise, our Father. And so when we begin to pray in our own prayer time, pray to your Father. I hear some of the same kind. You know, I have to ask Daddy about it. And so I think that's so cute when I hear them say that. And so I think, you know, we got to think of God in that way. He is our Father. We're a child of God. We're a child of the King. We're a child of the King is who we are. And so when you're a child, you're going to ask your Father for something. If your Father's there, you're going to ask your Father. Now, Daddy, so-and-so. So we're going to begin to do that. So this is what Jesus is painting this picture for us that we can do that. But Jesus prayed all the time. For all of those of you who are in ministry, Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed before the miracle sometimes. He prayed before when he got ready to feed the 5,000. He held it up to God, and he began to pray. And then he began to break the bread and to serve the fish. And the two fish and the five loaves of bread fed the 5,000. And then I think the 4,000 was seven loaves and so many fish. And so but anyway, every time he looked up to the Father, and he prayed to the Father, and he prayed for that. Now, we got to remember that Jesus is God in the flesh. But still, in his humanity, he showed us what to do, that we need to pray to the Father. And so now that gives us a picture like this about even with our finances. If we pray to the Father, of course, we do what we're supposed to do with our finances, then God, I believe that the Lord will begin to break that off, and you'll be able to do what you need to do with it because you have given it to God, you prayed to God, and he'll be able to meet the multitude of the things that you have that you have need of. God said he would supply our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so since we know that, then our needs are met. He's our Jehovah Jireh. He's the Lord our provider. And so sometimes we got to pray those kind of specific prayers. And we have to be assured that we have that intimate relationship with God. And because Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross. He died on our behalf. The veil at the temple was rent. And when that veil was rent, that gave us access to come boldly to the throne of grace. So we got the access to do it. It's us that maybe we're not exercising what God has already presented and what he has given us to be able to do. Because we have access to the Father now. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus is showing us all this. He's painting this picture up. Now, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because this paints, it says so much in this particular, and I'm going to read it, because this is Jesus healing the blind men. This is the two blind men. And the story of Jesus praying for these men speaks to where our mindset should be when we need a miracle. When we need a miracle, we got to have our mindset at the right place. How we have to believe that he can do it. And so and for us that he will do it, and for us, and it is because of our faith that it shall be done. That was the point and the pattern that this particular scripture painted for me when I read it. And so it's Matthew 9:27-31. And it says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. He asked them a question. He said, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame to all that country. And so, but what it was is that I took from that particular scripture is that when we come, it's just like Hebrews 11:6, when it says, He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. And so here Jesus asked him, he said, Do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe what you're asking me for, that I can perform the miracle? And they said, Yea, Lord. And so then he touched their eyes, and according to your faith, be it unto you. So we got to get our faith up. We got to get our faith up so when we go to God, we believe that he can do that. And so when you get your faith up, you're going to begin to have what it is that you need because you got to believe that God can do it. And so those are the wonderful things. That scripture just always blesses me. But Jesus always went to the Father. When he got ready to pray, he prayed to the Father. He prayed to the Father, and the Father would meet his request. I said, I think I wrote down here, I said the prayers of Jesus were heard because he left it all up to God. He left it all up to God. When he prayed and talked, asked them about that feeding that 5,000, he left it in God's hands. And when he left it in God's hands, he just started breaking the bread. He just started breaking the fish. And they had 12 baskets that they kept, that they took up. So the young man started with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in the basket, and then they had 12 baskets that they took up, so he had more. He multiplied his seed that he sown so that the people, the seed that he sown, he multiplied it. And so that was the one thing that he done. And so we got to remember that when we think about Jesus and his prayers. He prayed to the Father. And so during the days of Jesus, and wait a minute, I said something else. And why did Jesus pray so passionately? He prayed passionately because he knew that the authority and the message came through prayer and through connecting with the Father in the power of the Spirit. So he knew what he was doing. He knew he prayed to the Father and the Holy Spirit. The power would come through the Holy Spirit and it would be done. And so that's what Jesus did. He prayed, he believed that he was, whatever he prayed, it was going to happen because the Father would honor his prayer because he left it up to the Father. He didn't take it on. He didn't go pray and then take it on himself. You know what I'm saying? He knew God would work through him, and that's what was happening. And so during the days of Jesus' life, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. And you know, when he was in the garden, he prayed and he was crying loudly about, you know, about what was getting ready to happen when his time had come. And so he had begun to pray about that. And so then what happened was is that, you know, he submitted to God. And he said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And so that was what Jesus had begun to do. And then if we look at Hebrews 7:25, it says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So I was talking about how Jesus makes intercession for us. He is at the right hand of God, and he makes intercession for us. And so we have to remember that we got an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ. And so then, you know, Jesus prayed so many prayers. It says, Jesus was led into the wilderness, and he fasted and prayed. And that's over in Matthew, the fourth chapter. I think it's Luke, the fourth chapter as well, where it talks about him being in the wilderness and him praying. And then it talks about how Jesus gets up early to go to pray before his first preaching event in Galilee. And that's in Mark 1:35-39. And it talks about him getting up early to go pray before he began to preach to those of the 5,000 and all those people that were with him and all the people that were in Galilee. And then it says Jesus prays all night before choosing the 12 key leaders. And the verse says, it's Luke 6:12-13. It says, and it came to pass that in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And then it says that, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. And so that was what Jesus did. He prayed. He prayed all the time. He prayed his priestly prayer. If you look at John 17, that's God Christ's high priestly prayer. And so that's in John 17th chapter. And then it says how Jesus went up on the mountainside alone to pray and stayed there late into the evening after the long day of preaching after the 5,000. And I believe that's the particular time where then they saw him coming. They had, he had sent them on the boat, and then they saw him walking on the water coming to them. And then Jesus prays after the healing of the leper, and Jesus prays before the feeding of the 4,000, and Jesus prayed before when he was up at Mount of Transfiguration, praying after hearing the report of the 70. And so Jesus prayed often, and so we gotta take that into consideration in our own lives as we walk this Christian walk. We gotta remember that we need to pray often. Jesus prayed at Lazarus' grave, and he told him, for the benefit of those standing around, he called unto Lazarus. Lazarus came forth. But Jesus prayed in the temple. He prayed on Palm Sunday. He prayed over Jerusalem, and then he prays for Peter. He told him, Peter, I pray for you that your faith faileth not. Remember, he prayed, that's Luke 22, 31 and 34. And then he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, Mark 14, 32, 34, and Matthew 26, 39 through 46. He prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. But nevertheless, Jesus submits his will to God. And so he teaches us also about submission at that point, because sometimes we want to do it our way, or we want to do what we want to do, and we have to remember we have to do what God is telling us to do. Okay? And so those are some of the things. And then even in his ascension, he prayed for them, and he prayed prior to Bethlehem, and he just goes on and prays. And so the prayers of Jesus were heard because he left it all, like I said, he left it all up to God. And so then Jesus begins to promise the Holy Spirit for us when he gets ready to ascend unto heaven. This is at Pentecost when he's there, because, you know, he was 40 days and then 10 days, 50 days at Pentecost. And so he began to promise the Holy Spirit, and he told him to go up to the upper room and wait for it. And so he promised the Holy Spirit unto us. And he said, and so, and that's what he was saying in that particular scripture in the 13th verse of Luke, Luke 9. And he talks about the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. But anyway, he tells them about the Holy Spirit coming. And then we got to remember his prayers glorified the Father. Just like David's prayers glorified the Father, he glorified God because he would begin his prayers from a worshiper's heart. Jesus' prayers was from a son to a father's heart. And so we see that in a more intimate situation there, in a more intimate way. It was the son praying to the father. And so just like we are his children, we can pray to the father. And so we got to think about that when we pray to the father. We can pray to him like that. And so, and then I got a bunch of other prayers. Where's my time at? Because I'm going to get off time. Let me see where I am. Okay. I got people on. I didn't know. Pray, so I got 20 minutes. Okay. So he prayed to the Father about those things. And so let me go on, because I, you know, I kind of got off track for just a minute. And so then, but even let's look at these particular prayers. So we have the Lord's Prayer, and that's Matthew 6, 9, and 13. And then in John 12, 27, and 28, he prays, and he's glorifying your name. He prays, he glorifies the Father's name. He says, now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And this is when he was getting ready to go to the cross. It says, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. So this is Jesus. This is Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Stacey Joe. Thank God you're with us today. We thank God for that. And I miss you, too. I have. And so then a prayer for believers. And then he said, I'll remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me. And so then he's giving them the authority to use his name. And I told you when I was talking about some of prayer's battle partners that one of the things we have to use is we can use the authority of Jesus' name. And that, and we're going to talk about that in a minute when we talk about Paul. So let me move on, because I do want to get to Paul, because I am finishing up this week, and we're going to start on humility next week. I'm not going to mess that up. So I got to keep going. So let me say, and then even when Jesus was on the cross, he prayed, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So he was praying for those that were crucifying him. He prayed for them as well. And so he said, he forgave them, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. So Jesus prayed a lot. He prayed a lot, and he taught us how to pray a more intimate prayer, because now we have the authority to say our Father, and we can go to God with that, in that tone, our Father which art in heaven. And, of course, we do everything in the name of Jesus. We pray that prayer, and we seal it in the name of Jesus, in the authority that Jesus gave us to use his name. And so that is what we do. And so now we want to talk about the Apostle Paul. And we want to talk about, excuse me, my throat's getting real dry, and I'm getting real hoarse. But anyway, we want to talk about the Apostle Paul, because the one thing about the Apostle Paul and his prayer life, Paul was an intercessor. If we think about all of Paul's prayers, that he mostly prayed in the Bible, he was always in intercession for the body of Christ. He was always in intercession for the people. And so, but he would always pray using Jesus Christ as his support. He would pray, you know, he prayed through the name of Jesus. He said, "I do this for Christ's sake," or he would do this. So let me look at this, and I didn't do this myself, but I read this in the Apostle Paul wrote this, and this is Andrew Murray. He is one of my favorite books to read about prayer, especially about intercessory prayer. He wrote a lot of books about intercessory prayer and about prayer and things like this. This is one of my favorite people to read about that. And so I have several of his books that I read about this. So this is him. He put this together, but I want to use it because it really paints Paul as that intercessor that he is. And so I'm going to read it. It's going to take me a little time, but anyway, I'm going to get through it. He writes, he said in Romans, the first chapter, ninth verse, it says, "God is my witness that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established." And then Romans 1:2-3, he says, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." I think it's 1:2-3. He talks about this. "And I have great heaviness and continual sorrow of heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother." And then 1 Corinthians, I think it's 4, it says, thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus." And so it goes on and on and on, and I might not read all of that, but it goes on and on and so on. And then it says in the fourth chapter, 19 verses, "My little children, to whom travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you." So he was always in the position of an intercessor. He said in Ephesians 3:14, he said, "I bow my knees to the Father that he would grant you to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Philippians 3:1, 3, 4, 8, and 9 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance to you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus." So Paul was an intercessor. He always came from an intercessor's position when he prayed. He prayed for people. He prayed for them always because he wrote so many books of the Bible in the New Testament. And so, but when he started, if we really read all the first chapters of each book he wrote, he would begin with, you know, with a salutation, and then he would begin to say how he's making mention of you in his prayers and things like that. So Paul always came from an intercessor's position. He came with that. He was interceding for the people in Christ. He said, again, till Christ be formed into you. So he always done it in the name of Jesus. He did it with Christ being the focal point of his prayers and intercession being the focal point of his prayers. And so that's how Paul came across in prayer. So we look back. We said David came from a worshiper's position. Jesus brought in a more intimate relationship because he prayed to the Father. He was the Son, and he prayed to the Father. And so he introduces that to us, so now we can pray to the Father. And then, of course, I told you on the cross that Jesus gave us access when the veil of the temple was rent. He gave us access to God, and so now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But here it is that Paul is, he is interceding for us, and he has so many prayers that he has in the Bible. If we look at Romans 8:1, 8, and 10, it says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ." See, everything was through Jesus Christ when it came to Paul praying, because he realized that it was through Jesus Christ that we would have to come. And then, of course, he realized that there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the name of Jesus, that we have to do things in the authority of Jesus. That's what Jesus left with us. And, of course, he gave us the Holy Spirit, but he left us with his to be able to use his authority. When they said, "Silver and gold have I none," when they were at the gate called Beautiful, he said, "Such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And so everything he done, everything they did it in the authority of Jesus Christ. And that is what they done. That's what the apostles and Paul, and that's what they began to do. So those are the things that we have to begin to do. We have to do those things in the authority of Jesus Christ. And so then he says, I'm going to finish reading that verse. He said, "I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you 10 in the verse 10 says, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at the last succeed in coming to you. So he always prayed that. Brothers, my heart desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. That's Romans 10 and 1. I'm just kind of painting a picture of how he started his prayers out. Romans 12 and 12 says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. And so he always kind of came with those kind of things. In 15:5, Romans 15:5 and 6 says, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and the Father and our Lord, and all the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he began, and I told you that, you know, we all intercede. If we're prayer warriors, we're interceding for people, maybe our family members, maybe somebody that the Lord has put on our heart to pray during our prayer time, and we sometimes get or he wakes us up early in the early, you know, and put somebody on our heart. And I told you, when you get that kind of wake up, you need to get down and begin to pray for that particular person and intercede on their behalf. You know, when I told you about the priest making intercession for the people, between there's a priesthood between a sinful nation and a holy God. And so when he went in on the Day of Atonement, he took in the prayer. He prayed for the sins of the nation as well as his own sins. And, you know, when the priest went in back then into the Day of Atonement, you know, he had bells on him. So if they didn't hear them bells, then they knew something happened to the priest, and they had to pull him out. But, you know, he went in with bells ringing, and so they was hoping that the bells would keep ringing so they know that the priest was coming back out. But if it wasn't, then they had to pull him out. But anyway, he made intercession between a holy God and a sinful nation. And so sometimes we're standing in the gap between for somebody in our lives, and so we make an intercession. But Paul teaches us how to be the ultimate intercessor, the way he prayed, because he always prayed. So, you know, he was the one that wrote, you know, pray without ceasing. So, but when his prayers, even when Paul was in prison, Paul still was praying for the people. He was praying for the people. He didn't let his condition keep him from the position that he had as an intercessor and as an apostle and as somebody that planted churches and planted seeds. So we got to remember, you know, not to let the things that we may be going through take us off course and distract us, that we're not doing what the will of God has for us to do. If you are a prayer warrior and you're somebody that prays and you make intercession and you are an intercessor, keep on doing it. No matter what it is you're going through, God has got you. You don't have to worry about it. Paul, you know when they was put in jail and they was put in the inner jail and they began to pray and sing psalms at midnight, and how God loosed all the prisoners, and they could all walked out, but they stayed focused, and so they stayed in there. But just how God can loose us at any time, He can bless us at any time, He can do whatever it is anytime. We just gotta stay focused. We have to stop letting the enemy cause us to be distracted and to lose focus on the things that God has told us to do. He going to come because that's his job. You know, that's his job. He's going to do what he do. But the Holy Ghost is also, God bless you, that is also, the Holy Ghost is also making intercession for us, and so the Holy Ghost is leading and guiding us. And so we have to continue to don't get distracted. I mean, it's easy to get distracted. I fight that. We all fight it all the time because he throws things our way, but our response to things has to become better, and then we have to stay focused on what God has said and not lose heart. You know, sometimes it seems like, I know we feel like we got an emergency going on. It seems like taking God a long time, but you know what? God always answers on time. That's one thing I know about God. It may not come when I want. It may not come look like what I want. But God always answers on time. And so if we just keep that in the forefront of our mind, remember what God has already done for us, then we can go out. We can pray. But remember that approach God in a different way. We talked about three different men of God here. We talked about the King David and how he approached God from a worshiper's heart. I'm getting ready to wrap this up. And then Jesus, of course, his pattern of prayer was from a more intimate, because he prayed, the Son prayed to the Father, and so he waited on the Father. He left it all in God's hands. So he was showing us what we're to do. When we pray, when we ask, we shall receive, but we got to leave it in God. We got to leave it at the feet of Jesus. We got to leave it in God's hands. when we pray, we're giving it to God. So give it to God and leave it there. He said, James 5 and 7, he says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So we got to change it. We got to change it so we can make sure we are leaving it in God's hands and not keep taking it on ourselves and doing all that extra. That's what we got to make sure we do it. And so in anything, take everything to God in prayer. Don't leave nothing for your chance. Like I said, David took things to God in prayer. He did specific short prayers, and he waited for God to give the answer. Don't move until God gives you the answer, because you don't want to be out there sometimes and being defeated. When if you'd have waited on God to give you the answer, then you would know how to move. And so we thank God for each and every one of you that joined us online today, all those that logged in, called in, all those that listened on Facebook Live, all those that will listen to the broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you. But what I always want to do, and I never want to forget to do this, because, you know, sometimes we never know where somebody is or who's on the line. We never know who might hear this prayer, and they might be at a point, maybe they can't get to the church house at that time, they can't get there. But the one thing about God, he can save you wherever you are. He can deliver you wherever you are. He doesn't have any respect to persons. He's not going to turn you down because you're not at church. If you pray a prayer and you want to be saved, God will save you right where you are. I always remind people that, you know, everyone has sinned. And so don't let people put you in a box because you may not be in the right place with God at this time. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody's been at the place. The penalty of sin was death, but Jesus Christ died for our sins. He is the one that has died for our sins. He is the one that took the sting out of death. You know, he's the one that did it. And so in Romans 8:10, it says, to be forgiven for our sins, we must believe and declare that Jesus is Lord. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:10 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And then it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so, you know, that's what we got to do. So if you don't know Christ and the pardon of your sins, and you want to give your life to Christ today, this is the day to do it, and we will pray this prayer with you. And so if you would pray this prayer after me, it says, Heavenly Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in you and that your word is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died on the cross so that I may now have forgiveness for my sins and eternal life. I know that without you in my heart, my life is meaningless. I believe in my heart that you, Lord God, raised him from the dead. Please, Jesus, forgive me for every sin I have ever committed or done in my heart. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me and come into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior today. I need you to be my Father and my friend. I give you my life and ask you to take full control from this moment on. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then always don't forget to ask God to bless you. And then thank God for your promise that comes with that. And that says that the Holy Spirit will be with you and in you in the name of Jesus. He will be in you, with you, and in you. So I believe if you prayed that prayer that you are saved and that your heart was right, that you are saved, and that you need to find a Bible-believing teaching church, one that will continue to help you on this Christian journey, so that you can continue to get stronger and stronger and stronger in the Lord, and that fellowship will help you to do that. That teaching will help you to do that. The prayers and them leading and guiding you and helping you along the way will help you. So find you some place that you can go and that will teach you and continue to teach you Maybe you didn't give your life to him this morning, but you just gave your life to the Lord. And believe me, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over the soul that came to Christ. So we thank God for that opportunity to be able to pray that prayer or offer that, because God is awesome and he's just wonderful. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't give nothing for my journey with Christ. I thank God for being saved. I'm one of those that got saved at an early age, but that don't mean we didn't have no trial and tribulation. That don't mean we didn't do some wrong stuff and get into some stuff we didn't have no business getting into, because that's just how life is. But I thank God for the journey. I thank God for, but you know, the one thing, wonderful thing about God is it don't matter if you came in the 11th hour, you came in the first hour, he'll bless you just the same. And so that's the wonderful thing about God. He has no respect of person. And it is his will that all men will come to repentance, that we will all come and give our life to the Lord. That is what he's doing. That's what Christ died for, and that is what he is wanting to do. Now, I've talked about prayer for a long time, and I hope that somebody got something out of prayer and gained some more knowledge about prayer, and your prayer life has been developing over these teachings over these last couple of months or so, however long it's been, that your prayer life has gotten better and you've been able to develop a more intimate prayer life with God. Like I told you, I'm a fan of all the corporate prayers that go on. There's a lot of them that goes on, Kelly Lane, Bishop William Murphy. It's a whole lot of them that are going on, and some I don't know, you know, because I don't know everybody, but I know those are some of the ones that go on and people that we all kind of, you know, get with in the morning hours and stuff like that. But it does not take place of your own intimate time with the Lord. Make sure that you continue to have your intimate time, prayer time with the Lord. It's okay to join in those prayers. There's nothing wrong with that. But you still need to know how to go to God on your own behalf. You need to know how to get to God yourself and be able to pray and reach heaven. I thank God for them prayers, them mothers of the church that taught us how to get on our face and pray till we get an answer. I thank God for that, because it has been a blessing to me in my life. And I told you, I began to develop a prayer life, you know, when my mother got sick, and I was about 18 when she just graduated from high school and she started to get sick. And so I became a caretaker, you know, in that early part of my life from 18 to 34, but I did that for all those years. I kind of took care of my mother, so I felt like I was a little slow getting out the gate on some things because I had that responsibility to do, and I stayed home all that time. Even though I went to school and I worked and things like that and went to church and stuff like that, but I still had that responsibility. But that helped me to develop a prayer life. I began to get up and pray at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I kind of kept that going for all those years and so up until now. And, you know, I finally have adjusted sometimes. Sometimes I might be up at 4, I get up at 4 in the morning anyway. And so I begin to pray, get in prayer early. So that I can, you know, keep my time with the Lord, and then I join in with some of the other prayers, just because, you know, you just want to keep yourself in that frame of mind, keeping yourself in prayer. Anyway, but thank all of you. I'm trying to wind this time down because I got 2 minutes. And so anyway, but I was telling everybody at the top of the hour that, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. I glorify and I magnify you. Lord, you are the all-wise God. You are the omnipotent God. You are our creator, O God. Lord, you are the one that has created us and you formed us, O God. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. We thank you, Lord, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. We thank you, God. Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless us only as you can. There's so many people that have requested prayer on Facebook, and we've seen it, Lord, and they're praying for their health, Lord, they're praying. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord Jesus, that with your stripes they are healed. We ask you to bless those that are praying. Loved ones have lost loved ones. Comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. When all the funeral and all those things are over, Lord, please comfort them and be with them, oh God, in their time of need and in their time of grief, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless all of those that are under the sound of my voice, whether they be logged, whether they logged in, whether they called in, or whether they're on Facebook Live, or whether they will hear this broadcast later. We ask you to bless them as only you can. We plead the blood of Jesus over their life. We ask you to have a stress-free, conflict-free, worry-free week, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, give them promotions, give them prosperity, give them everything that they need, Lord Jesus. Let their families be loving. Let them come closer together in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for everything. We thank you that you are our shepherd and I shall not want. We thank you that we will have no lack in our life. We thank you that you are our light and our salvation. Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are our protection. You are a wall of fire around about us, Lord. We thank you. So, Lord, we ask you to bless us as only you can. Keep us as only you can. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. God bless each and every one of you, and I thank God for each and every one of you joining in. I pray that you have an awesome week, and we will be back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast, and we will be talking about humility. So I'm excited about that. Elder Rita Timberlake is going to be talking about that. Now, you might see my face, but you will hear her voice because she's on Facebook, but she will be on there. She's an awesome teacher. You don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. It's gonna be awesome. And so she's been studying and praying and all of that. And so God has given her word, I'm quite sure. And so I'm excited about it. And I thank God for it. I'm gonna be coming on doing some day breaks. All this stuff I'm doing, believe me, I've had it for years. I got it wrote down. I got so much stuff wrote down to me. Notebooks, it's not even funny. But the Lord is just been in pushing me to move past the fear, move past all the other stuff, and just go on and do what the Lord is calling me to do. So I'm going to be doing that on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's called daybreak. So I'm going to be on a couple of minutes and just giving you a word of encouragement throughout the week on those days. So the Lord, pray that the Lord, it will encourage somebody. And, of course, I told you Mother Pearl and Nana are going to be coming on doing Wisdom Wednesday. And then I think the first week in June we will start Single Talk. We're still working out some things with that and getting that all set up. And that's going to be a blessing. I hope that, you know, our singles will be blessed because, you know, we have many single ministries in our churches. And please go and support those because those are such a blessing to the body of Christ. And so we're doing something a little extra. We're going to do it on a night that ain't impeding you from going to the church for single ministry. We're going to do it on a different night. And so we're just going to do that. And so we thank God for everybody. God bless you all, and may God keep you is my prayer. Bye-bye.